I know I have lots of friends or acquaintances who are retired or went into retirement. And in almost every case, those folks didn't stay retired for very long. They got into something else. Maybe it was something very similar to what they had done, or maybe it was something totally different. And I have one really good friend who's retired and has decided he's not going to do another job. He's re-educating himself on a whole variety of things, and he's doing a lot of traveling around and having a lot of fun doing that. But I think for a lot of people, sort of a second act career for retirement might be in order. That's at least what my guest says. Larry Mueller here, glad to have you along on the Ideas Network. I'll spend the next bit of time here talking with the author of Second Act Careers, 50-plus Ways to Profit from Your Passions During Semi-Retirement. And our guest, Nancy Collamer, is a career coach and the author of Second Act Careers. Great to have her along. And, you know, as we listen in, maybe you've already retired and maybe you've started a post-retirement career. I'd love to hear that story. Or maybe you had a hard time, you know, getting into some sort of groove. Maybe you're thinking about doing it and wonder, have some questions about it. Maybe if you haven't retired, you have a dream of what you might want to do after retirement. Love to hear all those things. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And, of course, we would love to hear from you. And we have Nancy Collamer online. Nancy, are you there? Let's see. Have we got her there?
Larry?
Yeah, there we go.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. It was a lot of fun reading your book.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun to write it.
I love it because I love all the great examples that you have in the book you know, what people have done. Those are great to give, you know, give a great idea of what people can do.
Well, thank you. It's good to hear that because my intention in writing the book was to really open up people's minds about.
Oops, are you there?
Larry?
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I lost you for a second. Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. What I started to say is that, you know, my intention in writing the book was really to open up people's minds to the possibilities. Because for all the bad news about what's going on with the economy, there really is a lot of good news out there. And the opportunities for working in terms of creating your own business or project work or doing freelance work is really as good today as it's ever been. So my goal was really to open people's eyes and give them a smorgasbord of possibilities.
And, you know, our people, is this, you know, the traditional view of retirement was, you know, you retire and play golf and do that sort of thing. But more and more people seem to be moving away from that.
Yeah, you know, we have, it's interesting because that dynamic that we all grew up with,
right,
of, you know, as you said, you make it to 65, you get the gold watch, and you go sit on the rocking chair or go play golf all day, you know, is actually a paradigm that wasn't around all that long. And we have a new paradigm that's going on today where people are leaving their jobs at, you know, 60, 65, and they've got 20 years ahead of them when they're really probably going to be in very good shape. They want to remain active and engaged. As you mentioned before, most people who say, well, I'm just going to play golf all day, go ahead and do that for 6 months or a year, and then they turn around and say, is that all there is?
Yeah.
So while it's true that a lot of people these days are probably going to need to at least earn some extra income during retirement, it's also true that there are tremendous benefits to working that have nothing to do with finances.
Yeah, I think so. Feeling, you know, you feel like you're useful. That may be one feeling that having a sort of a semi-retirement career would
Absolutely.
Hold?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's you know, for some people, it's an opportunity to really give back to the community. You know, a lot of people have been stuck in jobs that paid the bills, but didn't give them that much personal satisfaction. And so for those folks, it's a great opportunity to find a variety of different ways to give back to their communities. But for other people also look to do things that are new challenges and that are going to be fun and interesting. And sometimes it's just a matter of getting people out into the community and having a place to go each day and being around, stimulating people and new ideas. It can just add so many different dimensions to your life.
And, you know, I think you have some great examples of people who really had a passion that wasn't necessarily part of their work, and they were able to pursue that passion in this semi-retirement situation.
Yeah, I had so much fun doing the interviews for this book because the people who I spoke with are just loving what they are doing. And as you said, I have dozens of examples of that in the book. But just as one example, one of the people who I feature is someone named Sharon Saxon. And her passion was her dogs. And she had always worked as a breeder on the side, but professionally, she was actually a TV news producer. She used to work for Peter Jennings. And when 2008 came along, she lost her job.
Oh.
And then she said, what am I going to do? And she was able to turn her passion for the dogs into multiple income streams. And what she does now is she works as an international dog show judge. She's written several books about dogs. She helps people by coaching them as a animal behaviorist. And she also, tying in what she did before, she's actually one of the producers for the Westminster Dog Show on TV.
Yeah, it's a great story.
It is a wonderful story, and it just shows, you know, how you can turn passions and hobbies into income. It's not easy, mind you. And, you know, in the second half of the book, I lay out some of the steps for how you need to go about this process, because none of this happens overnight. But it can be done, and you know, the book has many different stories of people doing a wide variety of fun things.
Talking with Nancy Collamer today about that second career, that second act career. That's the title of her book, Second Act Careers, 50 Plus Ways to Profit from Your Passions During Semi-Retirement. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234 with your questions or maybe your experiences. Let's turn to Cindy in Ashland. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Good. We retired to the Pinoki Mountains south of Ashland about 12 years ago and built our new retirement home, but we built it as a bed and breakfast. And it took us 2-3 years to get everything together, and we're entering our ninth season. And I was a professional. My husband had his own business when we retired, and we're having a ball.
Oh.
We love it.
Boy, you got to be a people person for something like that.
Well, yes, you do. We love to entertain. We both love to cook. And being where we are, we've got 80 acres in the Pinoki, so we're kind of sheltered from everything else. But it's just kept us going. I'm 69. He's a little older. And I don't know when we're going to quit.
Well, why quit? You know?
That's my feeling.
Oh, that's
it's a good topic, because a lot of people, our family and friends, say, why do you keep doing this? What are you going to do?
Yeah. So it's a little source of income, but then you're seeing a lot of different people, meeting a lot of new people?
All over the world. Yep, we've had them from all over the world. Belgium, West Africa, both coasts, every place in between.
Oh, man. Nancy, comment from you?
Yeah, well, first of all, Cindy, congratulations. It sounds like you're having a really fun time with it. And, you know, listening to your story reminds me that in the book, I have a whole chapter on getting paid to travel. And one of the ideas in that chapter is to become an in-sitter. And Cindy, as I'm sure you're aware, in-sitters are people who they themselves don't own an inn, but they get hired out to different inns to help relieve innkeepers when they would like a break. And there are training programs that you can take to train to become an in-sitter. And I think it's a wonderful way for people to test out the possibility of buying their own bed and breakfast without making a big financial commitment, you know, first. And some people are going to discover that they love it. And other people might find that they enjoy it, but only in small doses.
I like that. Looking up here, at least we have the winter months where we're not quite so busy, so we do get a break there. But anyway, I love the topic, and it's so pertinent right now with baby boomers reaching retirement age and everything. So thanks a lot.
Thank
you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Cindy. I really appreciate your call. That was a wonderful call, and she does raise some, you know, as you think about second act careers, the fact that there are a lot of people getting retirement right now. And I will bet, and I tell you what, Nancy Kellermer will, I'm sure, agree with me on this. We'll talk about this in just a few minutes about the possibilities about second act careers that relate to all those baby boomers who are all retiring, just like you may be. We'll be visiting with her right up until 12:30. So stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Retirement can be a lot of fun and also a lot of work. A lot of people are working after retirement for extra income. Many are just for fun. Maybe to pursue lifelong passions. And my guest this hour has some great advice on starting a second act career after retirement. Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. I'll spend the next half hour with the author of Second Act Careers, 50 Plus Ways to Profit from Your Passions During Semi-Retirement. She has advice on things you can do when you're done with your first career and how to find the right semi-retirement job. You can join in with your questions or maybe your experiences. Love to hear your stories, too, at 1-800-642-1234. You can also leave a comment on my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show for that. And I hope you'll click like while you're there. And we'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Back with our guest after the news. A lot of people don't stop working just because they've retired. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Nancy Kellermer is with us for the next half hour. She's the author of Second Act Careers, 50 Plus Ways to Profit from Your Passions During Semi-Retirement. You can join the show at 800-642-1234. What work are you doing after retirement? Or what work do you want to do when you retire? Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. And tell you what, Nancy, we have so many callers online. I'm going to go right to the phones here. And Mary in Sun Prairie, thank you for calling. Hi, what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I guess I'm the quintessential job seeker after retirement. My husband was a police officer in the Chicago area, and he always had a business on the side, which was landscaping. So when he decided to retire, he went into landscaping full-time and then decided to open a flower shop. And, of course, I worked in data processing. I was a project manager for the CTA. And he called me up one day and said, "You have to quit. I need help." So I quit, and I went to floral arts school, and I became a floral designer. We did that for 8 years and then decided to retire again. And we retired in southern Wisconsin, and after about 6 months, we thought, no, this isn't working. So we bought a restaurant in Presque Isle, Wisconsin, and we had that for about 9 years. And then we thought, okay, this is it. We're going to retire to a house on the lake and we did, and that lasted not quite a year. And we went searching for an old house to build, to turn into a bed and breakfast, and we found one on the Sugar River Trail in Albany, and we opened a four-room bed and breakfast. And we had that for 6 years, and then we decided we would really retire, and we moved to Arkansas where the weather was more conducive, and he passed away 3 years ago, and I got bored. And the local community college was starting a culinary arts program, so I taught cooking as a continuing education class, and then a gentleman and I, we had our own cable cooking show, and I finally decided to retire again, so I'm here in Sun Prairie. But I belong to Plato now, and I volunteer with that organization.
Oh, what a great story, Nancy.
I wish you could see my expression, because I was just smiling the whole time you were speaking.
And the weird thing is one thing never had to do anything to do with the other, so it was... It was fun.
Thank you so much, Mary. That was
thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I really appreciate it. What a great story.
Yeah, and it just, you know, you could hear it in her voice. It just speaks to the fact, you know, Larry, it's interesting because so many people who are, particularly people that are right now in their late 50s and they're looking at their 401ks and they're starting to panic and they're saying, oh, you know, I can't believe I'm going to have to work. And not to make light of any of those financial concerns, because for some folks, it is quite a serious problem.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for people to listen to people like the caller that you just had on, because it just goes to show how when you find work that is enjoyable, how much it can add to your life. And, you know, again, when I interviewed, for me, I mean, I've been a career coach now for 16 years in private practice, but in writing the book and speaking with people in their 60s and 70s who are doing all sorts of fun things, it was inspiring even for me to have those conversations. Oh. And it made me really look forward to my quote-unquote retirement. We all need to come up with a better word for it.
Oh, that's for sure. And she touched on so many things that are in your book. For example, she talked, you know, earlier they'd run a restaurant, so obviously she gained all these skills that she then applied as a teacher of cooking.
You know, exactly. And actually, the one, you know, I would argue a little bit with what she said when she said, none, you know, one thing had nothing to do with the other. And I don't really think that's true.
No.
As you just pointed out, the fact of the matter is that if we were to sit down and really go through her background, we would discover some very common threads running through all of those experiences. And that's true for everyone. And that's why I say to people when they're, you know, sitting at home and listening to us today and saying, well, what are some of the things I should be thinking about? You know, a very simple thing that you can do is just take out some paper and start listing past jobs that you've had and begin to look through those jobs and say, what are the activities and projects and accomplishments that I most enjoyed and did well? Because you will discover some common threads running through all of those experiences. And those then become a good starting point for exploring new possibilities.
Absolutely. And you certainly expand on that within your book. Pat in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Thanks for calling, Pat.
Hi, I started a bicycle tour business after teaching high school for 30 years, and it's been absolute fun. I didn't know how much fun work could be. I'm a longtime bicycle tourist myself, and I had thought when I retired I was just going to ride all over the country by myself or with a small group, and I did that a few times. I rode across the country, And then it dawned on me that I really wanted to take it another step and involve some people who maybe were new to the idea, and it's so much more fulfilling to be able to bring other people in on something that I've loved my whole life.
Well, that sounds good.
I'm a boomer, and as it turns out, my customers are pretty much all boomers. My tourists stay in hotels, and we have restaurant meals. And what I found is there was kind of a hole in the bicycle tour market for people who are getting a little older and maybe didn't want to sleep on a 10th floor. You know, they want to do the miles, they want to do the week, but they don't necessarily want to sleep on the floor of the tent. And so I get all these people who are between 50 and 70, and, boy, they can ride 400 or 500 miles in a week.
Yeah, but, you know, what a great story, and it really illustrates, you know, what you did was you really looked for where is the gap in the marketplace.
Right.
And that is a really important question to ask yourself, because you can't just do what you love. That is a starting point, but you need to look at the market and say, where are the opportunities? And then figure out a way to fill them.
Yeah, and I'd like to add something to that. The reason that I was able to target that was because I looked at myself. If somebody is going to go into a second career from a hobby, it's really helpful to have been there and done that. And I knew as I got older what I wanted out of a bicycle tour, and that's where I looked.
I think that's great advice.
That's very, very good advice. And I love to bike too, Pat, so that's just wonderful that you were able to.
Well, you should come along sometime. I'm full for this year, but it's around Wisconsin bicycle tours.
Oh, and so you do around the state?
I do only in Wisconsin. I'm doing 3 tours this summer, one in the north, one celebrating beer and cheese southwest of Madison, and then we're doing a long weekend at a resort up in the Manitouche Waters area, just stay in one place and do circle rides. And that is appealing to a lot of couples where there's one avid biker and one member of the couple who's a little bit less enthusiastic, you know. So that's going to be a new idea there.
Well, I biked in all 3 of those areas, and you've got a good thing going. Thanks, Pat.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. There she is again, another person just pursuing their passion and making it work. And it sounds like, you know, it's not, it's for her, I'm sure, biking in Wisconsin, it's got to be those summer months, spring and summer and maybe and fall months. And then, you know, you got the rest of the time to have fun or do other things.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's a great illustration of a way that you can work on a seasonal basis. And in the book, one of the interviews that I did was with a gentleman who runs a website called coolworks.com. And their tagline is jobs in cool places.
Yeah.
And that was a really interesting interview because he talked about all the different jobs that people can do on a seasonal basis. And in particular, we got into quite a lengthy discussion about the opportunities at the national parks.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a system of 400 national parks in this country. And typically when people think about summer employment at the parks, they think of college students. Well, you know what? Most college students need to be back in college by the middle of August.
Yep.
And the parks have recognized the fact that there are a lot of boomers out there who make great employees because they can stay for the entire summer season. And so there are people who travel out to the parks. They live out there for several months at a time. They are part of a really tight-knit community, and they have a ball living and working in the parks. It's just one of the many different ways people can work on a seasonal basis. So lots of different ways to go about approaching this.
And you have a great story. This is a totally different thing, but I'm bringing it up because on one show or another, quite often, I've had listeners talk about their experiences on eBay and using eBay. And you had a great story about Uncle Joe.
Yes, Uncle Joe. Yeah,
eBay Hall of Famer.
Right, right. He is an eBay Hall of Famer. And quite the character. And, you know, briefly, his story is quite inspirational because he was someone who was an IT executive and suffered from congestive heart failure and literally overnight went from climbing the corporate ladder to finding himself flat on his back and being told that he was never going to work again. And he understandably spent several months just staring at the walls and watching TV. But over time, he said, you know, I've got to pull it together. What can I do? And since he was housebound, he focused in on the Internet and began to take a look at what was out there. It was the relatively early days of eBay. And he had some friends in town who owned a surplus store. And he said to them, you know what, let me try taking a few of your items and I'm going to try selling them on eBay. And he was someone who, as I said, he's quite entertaining. He's got a great sense of humor. And he writes well. And so he was able to take his skills. He had good writing skills. He knew how to take good pictures. He was able to position his items in such a way that they sold pretty quickly. And before he knew it, he became very successful at selling on eBay. And what's so great about his story is that he became so successful that two things happened. The first was that he began to really immerse himself in the eBay community. So rather than sitting at home feeling sorry for himself, he developed this whole world of friendships online. And then he was able to go out to their conferences, and that became his social life. He formed a meetup group, an eBay meetup group in Oklahoma City where he lives. And so it really provided a tremendous social outlet for him. But the other thing that he does now is he teaches other people how to sell on eBay. And yes, he makes money from doing that, but more importantly, it gives him a tremendous sense of satisfaction. And, you know, I was so moved when he said to me, you know, Nancy, I know that in some cases I am the difference between someone having their electric bill paid that month or not getting paid. Oh. And he said, knowing that really makes a difference to me in my life because I know what it's like to feel like you have no hope.
Wow.
And it's one of my favorite stories in the book.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful story. And I'm worth reading for if you don't read anything else in the book, that one is certainly worth reading. And I guess I wanted to mention as well that you certainly don't ignore the online and the blogging and that's that sort of thing, because there are lots of opportunities there too.
Yeah, and that's it's a whole new frontier. But a very exciting world. I was reading something the other day that talked about the fact that by 2020, there will be an additional 3 billion people that will be coming online. And what that means is for people who figure out how to sell products and services online, there is tremendous opportunity. Now, what goes along with that is there is also, if anyone has delved into this at all, you very quickly begin to see there are a lot of people out there selling some questionable information about doing things like, you know, blogging and how do you make money off of that. And, you know, all these people promising you can earn $5,000 a month with no effort. And so, yes, I have a whole chapter about creating an information empire, and really my primary goal in doing that chapter was to say to people, here are some really solid resources that you can comfortably turn to get some very reliable information about how you go about making money online. It's doable, but you got to be careful.
I do like the fact that throughout your book you have lots of other places to go to look for more information on specific topics. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, because there is no lack of information out there. The challenge for most folks, though, is when you go online, it's trying to figure out what's reliable and what's not.
No, it isn't, yeah. Jan and Nina, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. What I wanted to share was some years ago, I heard of a website called Vocation Vacation. And what this is There is a cost to it, but you can shadow somebody in a career that you would like as your second career. Let's say you're an engineer and you'd like to be a Cordon Bleu chef. What's it really like when you are day-to-day doing that, what you perceive to be your second career? And it was very interesting to me, and I had been working for the UW system, and I knew of a woman whose husband was an engineer and always wanted as a second career to be a baker. And somehow he was able to shadow a day a week or so, probably on the weekends, a wonderful bakery, you know, in Middleton. And I eventually, hopefully, pursue that career. So this goes into all kinds of things, international and whatever, but it gives you perhaps the most grown-up version of career day and really tracking what it would be like to be in that position once you complete your education for the second career.
That's it's a great service. And they actually, I'm so glad you brought them up, because Brian Kurtz, who is the founder of Vocation Vacation, also he recently came out with a second site that is called PivotPlanet.com. Both of these are listed in my book. And what he's done is, in addition to the multi-day shadowing that you can do with people, he also now offers, in some cases, the opportunity to call people and spend 2 or 3 hours on the phone with them to get some intensive coaching, whether you want to explore, you know, opening your own vineyard or becoming a screenwriter or what have you. So thank you for sharing that resource with everyone. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource.
Yeah.
Thank you for all the information. I can't wait to read your book.
Appreciate it, Jan. Thanks very much for calling. Well, yeah, there's so much there that we haven't covered in the book. But Connie and Aliva, let's go to you next. Hi, Connie.
Oh, hi. Hi, Larry and Nancy. Well, Nancy, I agree with you that satisfaction and challenge are worth so much in retirement. And you can get that in volunteering, too. I was a volunteer at the Eau Claire Masonic Dyslexia Center. It's a program that's 2 to 3 years for the children, and they really learn a lot. And the volunteers are just so excited about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nancy.
No, I was just going to say absolutely. And I think, you know, there again, in the book, I have a chapter on making a living while making a difference. And there's no question that I think particularly for people over 50, the idea of doing something that enables you to give back is so important to people. It's not just about giving money. It's also about giving up your time and energy. And, you know, in that chapter, I talk about a variety of ways people can do that, because volunteering is absolutely a wonderful path people can take. But, you know, I also saw examples of people who had their own businesses, and through those businesses, they were able to donate profits to charities that were meaningful to them. Or they would go and speak with groups of women about becoming entrepreneurs. You can even join the Peace Corps. People don't even consider that possibility, but the reality is that 5% of Peace Corps volunteers are over the age of 50. So lots of different ways that you can help make the world a better place.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much, Connie. I appreciate it. I think back to the actor Paul Newman.
Such a great example.
What a great example of someone who used his his name and a bit and money to start salad dressing and
yep.
And a whole bunch of other products, and all the profits go to causes that he and his family appreciate and like.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and he unfortunately is no longer with
right.
us, and yet the charity is still, still generating lots of money for good causes. So his legacy certainly lives on.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, Nancy. I really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. And we didn't get into, the whole area of healthcare is another area that you cover and talk about as for opportunities and many, many more. Thank you so much. And I hope we have a chance to visit again.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Nancy Collamer is author of Second Act Careers, 50-plus ways to profit from your passion during semi-retirement. I had a lot of fun reading a very interesting book. Thank you for listening. Garden Talk coming up tomorrow. Jeff Epping joins us on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.